It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, Linden Sheet Metal, and TheFourthCorner.com on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
All right, good morning, Whatcom County, Skagit County, Island County, and those friends on the Great White North up there in BC, British Columbia. This is Jim McKinney. I'm your host this morning on Saturday Morning Live. We've got an interesting show today. I've got a special guest this morning in studio. I'll introduce her later on in the show. Right now, we're going to talk about some issues that I think all of us are concerned about and that we probably really need to think about. Free speech in America. Are you free to speak? Are you free to think? Are you free based on our constitutional rights and that First Amendment out there? So I'm going to go through some issues. I'm going to talk through them. I'm going to take some calls here later in the first half of the hour and in the second half an hour. We're going to talk about the impact nationally and locally on some of the issues that we're facing today, especially with free speech. So, you know, basically right now there are some things that we have to think about. We've got to think hard about them. We in America, most of us learned very early that we have the right to speak freely with our opinions, as long as we don't, you know, yell fire in a crowded theater that could hurt someone else. Now, I grew up with a basic principle of, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But what we've seen today is a complete change in the mentality in this country, where words become daggers and dangerous, and they are worse than sticks and stones, because in fact people lose their livelihoods, they lose their jobs for saying the wrong thing or putting something out on a social media post on Facebook, or just a comment in public. Or what I just saw yesterday was a Hispanic man, I believe in Southern California or Arizona. Someone snapped a picture of him driving his truck on the road, and his hand had a little okay sign on it. You know, something that we all grew up, many of us, you know, grew up using okay. You know, you put your index finger and your thumb together. But somebody somewhere said that is a white supremacist symbol. So this gentleman, driving down the road, minding his own business, had his fingers together like that, hanging out the door. Someone snapped a picture of it, sent it into his company, which I believe was an electric service company, and the company fired him because of the potential of white supremacy. He's Hispanic. What the heck is going on? This is one small example of things that are happening right now in America. The retribution for imagery or thoughts with people with cell phones or what you say is being attacked if you are controversial, and you may not even know you're being controversial. My assumption is that this gentleman will probably have a pretty good case to go to court to get his job back, but it's hard to say because, again, there's a lot of issues out there that keep people from being successful in these cases in court because of the freedom of companies to make decisions on how they can hire and fire. And, you know, I'm for that. I'm for people to make decisions freely and independently, but based on what principles? What principles are we in this nation do we have to go by? And it used to be that we accepted each other's ideas and thoughts, and we could communicate with each other, and we could argue, not to violence, but we could argue and discuss. And one person's ideas may not align with someone else's, but through that discussion, you might be able to get information and interest that would change your opinion or at least reshape your views on something. But when you take away that opposing view, something happens. People get groupthink. And the groupthink right now has built us up in this nation to a point of almost destruction. My fear is that we're separating each other so much over these innuendos and these agendas. And I'm going to talk about where they, in my view, my opinion, where they're coming from and why. And it's something maybe a little more insidious than many people understand. Let's talk about the taboos. Right now, you cannot talk in America about election fraud. If you talk about election fraud, if you question the outcome of the 2020 federal election for president, you're silenced. Not only are you silenced, you're white supremacist, or you're even worse, a domestic terrorist. What in the heck? If we can't question the integrity of our elections, and I'm going to give you some examples here as we go down this morning on some very specific issues that question the integrity of elections. If we can't do that, we're in trouble as a nation. We have to be able to discuss. We've got to be able to dialogue. We've got to be able to question. In the past, our media has been the critical element in doing that. That's why we have in the First Amendment the right to free speech and the right for free press, so they wouldn't be suppressed by the government. But something's happening right now. Something is happening, and we have to think about it. So what else is a taboo? Lockdowns, COVID, looking at the facts, asking questions, wondering what's happening, why Washington State, which is one of the lowest case rates and lowest mortality rates of the disease, are we still locked down when other big, large states are opening up? Well, of course you can't question it. And of course, as we heard in the news at the top of the hour, oh boy, watch out for those second, you know, variations of viruses. Watch out for those, for the no mask mandates. They're dangerous. Racial justice. Question racial justice right now, you will be hammered. You'll be labeled a racist. Wait a second. Weren't we working as a nation to integrate each other, to get to the right place, to where we accepted each other for our character and not our color? We have no choice in what color we're born. We have no choice in our, those basic genetics that are passed on from one to another, but we do have a choice of how we act to each other. And right now, you can't question that based on somebody's skin color. In fact, if you do, you are labeled, you're destroyed. And even, you know, there's a talk radio guy that was discussing with before the election. He was talking on a national show with a Democratic progressive political leader, and she accused him of being a white supremacist because she'd never seen him before because of the way he spoke. But he was black, and he said so on the radio, like, hey, what are you talking about? Do you know me? Do you know who I am? There's something going on right now. It's crazy. Are you free to speak? So we're going to take some calls after the break. There's some other issues that we want to discuss, and I'm going to give you some facts and figures on some very interesting new news. And, of course, at the bottom half of the hour, sometime later, we're going to have this special guest on. I'll introduce her, and we'll talk about how this impacts us locally right here in our own little county, in our own little towns closely to us, and how it impacts our schools and our businesses. So, yeah, so we're going to go off for a break. It's Jim McKinney once again hosting Saturday Morning Live. The call-in number is 360-676-5464, 676-KGMI. Once again, we'll be back in a few moments. All right, welcome back. Saturday Morning Live. It's Jim McKinney. I'm in studio this morning with a special guest. We're going to talk about free speech. We're going to talk about things that you can and cannot say and what's happening in America, and maybe some ideas on why, something for you to consider and think about. So I talked about the fact that we've got some taboos out there. You can't question election fraud. You can't question the lockdowns and COVID virus information. You can't question racial justice. You can't question... But, you know, what's happening to your business? You can't questions what's happening to your schools or why your children aren't in school. Because if you do, you're attacked on social media or you're questioned by your neighbors because they are so afraid with the information that's piled out there. And of course, you know, you're accused of being a supremacist or, you know, a science denier. You can't question, you know, climate change in many cases. We saw attempts in the previous administration, not the Trump administration, but the Obama administration, to actually enact laws that would punish people for questioning, denying climate change. That was a big issue for a while. You can't question children's gender, you know, in school. What the heck is that about? You can't question whether or not a transgender male, a transgender female, former male, can compete in young girls' sports at school. There's something going on here. And I think I've got some reasons, some understanding a little bit of why. Let's talk about who controls information in America right now. You've got basically a handful of major corporations, big corporations that own 90% of the voice in America, where we get our data from, where we get our information from, where we get the news, where we can discuss. And those companies are keeping a narrative that undermines the ability to question, to ask why. Let's talk about Facebook. People wonder, you know, okay, there's frustration. They've been deleting people's messages. They've been censoring views on COVID. A great example was, you know, this big pushback on hydroxychloroquine, you know, 6 or 8 months ago after President Trump said, hey, there's a possibility for a treatment. They immediately began, and the big tech and media started silencing any information put out on different social media platforms. And Facebook in particular would not allow any spreading of information or any studies or any discussion of hydroxychloroquine. Well, it turns out down the road, even Facebook's proprietors of knowledge came back and said, you know what, that was a mistake. Hydroxychloroquine actually does have some advantages, especially early on in treatment. 8 months, 9 months later, how many people might have been saved with being able to use that? I mean, major voices on national media channels were saying things like, I'll give an example of Fox News. One of the business anchors actually spoke out and said, hydroxychloroquine will kill you, even though it's been in use for 70 years and proven to support many, many, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, to fight against malaria. It was a safe, very safe, different, you know, product or pharmaceutical. I know that Chris Halterman on this show had talked about it quite a bit, but finally Facebook comes back and admits they didn't. You know, it didn't have the impact. It wasn't dangerous, and that they were wrong about that. So, one example, Facebook. Now let's think about why Facebook or possibly Twitter restricts some of the knowledge here. Everyone thinks that we have influence over them. We can drop Facebook. We can stop using them, and maybe, you know, and a lot of the business people out there, free market people, say, well, you know, the market will go ahead and dictate the future for these companies. Well, in America, we have about 330 million people. Facebook, by estimates, as of January of this year, 2021, has between 185 and 230 million users, about 185 million users every day. Well, guess what they have worldwide? Facebook has over 2.6 billion users. The number one user of Facebook is not the United States. The number one user of Facebook is actually India. They don't care about the U.S. market. It's not going to make them or break them. 200 million users in the United States, that's less than 10% of their overall audience. In Asian countries like Indonesia, there's, you know, 200, 220 million people. There's 185 million users I'm sorry, 85 million users in Indonesia. Half the population uses it. They're looking at those markets. They're looking at expansion of globalization. Twitter, the same considerations. They're looking at global markets. They're not looking at local markets. The tech giants, who are now the most capitalized corporations on the planet, are controlling the media. And the networks and the mainstream media networks are connected to China. They're invested in the rest of the world. They're looking at global markets. They're not looking at the U.S. market. The U.S. market, with 330 million people, used to be incredibly powerful. We were the biggest spenders. But as China rises to become the second largest economy, which it is, and gaining on us rapidly, as the world with Indian population, 1.3 billion people, there's a big, big opportunity for them to make a fortune in other places. So, in fact, a policy, a U.S. policy that protects American interests may not be in their global interests, in their expansive interests. That's something to consider. I want to go to Russ has been online for a little bit. I want to go ahead and get Russ on. We're going to have to break in a little bit, and we'll talk to Cindy after the break. But, Russ, how you doing today?
Okay. This is a short poem about the lockdown. It's called Lockdown Town. Here in Lockdown Town, streets are empty. Desolate papers and debris scurry along the sidewalk, swept up by chill winds of abrupt change and new normals. You can tell the essential businesses from the non-essential. The essential ones operate in shadows of uncertainty. The non-essential ones boarded and buried like blank coffins. People cannot display affection to experts on high. They are vectors driven by inordinate desires and prosaic passions. As with sheep and cattle, they are to be expertly penned. They are to be tranquilized, pacified, and mollified with Netflix and cute cat videos, aquaria and cannabis, perhaps allowed to leave on furlough to an approved park. They must be masked, sanitized, and socially distanced for their protection from fiendish microbes, except for the experts, exempt from their rules in their exiles.
Oh, that's good. Powerful. Good point. You know, there's some statistics out there. I do a nationally syndicated radio show, KER Reports, Corlin Economics Report. And yesterday we, in our discussion, you can look it up online. It's a webcast, but we talked about small businesses. Over 50% of small businesses, according to the latest surveys of March of 2021, over 50% will not be able to make their payments, their rent payments, in the next month. 67% of minority-owned businesses in America, according to this survey, will not be able to make their rent in the next month. 54% of women-owned businesses will not be able to make their rent in the next month. We are destroying small business, but who's gaining right now? Russ, who's the biggest profiteers of this COVID lockdown? You got any idea? Amazon. Absolutely killing it, making a fortune as they shut down small business. But we can't question COVID and the lockdowns. There's something strange going on out there. Something incredibly strange. Are we going to go to the bottom of the hour break? We're going to go ahead and we'll keep talking on this subject. We'll bring it back here to local issues. And we'll just appreciate the callers. Again, it's Jim McKinney hosting Saturday Morning Live this Saturday. 676-5464 is the call-in, 676-KGMI. And we're off to the break for a little bit. Good morning. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Live. This is Jim McKinney. I'm your host this morning. We are discussing free speech. We're talking about the things you can and can't say in America right now and possibly some of the reasons why. And we've got, again, a special guest in. I'm going to I'm going to introduce in a little bit. We're going to talk about what how things impact us locally here, primarily with schools. But I wanted to follow up with a couple of issues before. I know we've got a caller on. Cindy's been waiting for a little bit. Not yet. We'll get to you, Cindy, in just a couple minutes. So you hold on. We talked about the corporations and who's benefiting from this lockdown. And just there at the bottom of the news hour, you know, we've got a lot of the CDC. They're talking about, hey, be careful. We don't want these growth and you know, the cases and masks work. Well, there's a really interesting chart out there. The chart breaks out all 50 states. It's a very simple chart. In over the fall and the winter, the number of deaths per 100,000 for each state in America, all 50. The states that had lockdowns, on average, had a 6% higher mortality rate than the states that did not have lockdowns. So, what are the? That's a statistic that comes from the CDC numbers. So we can't question that. We can't question the impact of our businesses. We can't question the impact on our children. Do you know there's a recent study also that came out? And this study actually evaluated requests from insurance companies. It's not arbitrary. It's not just asking, you know, a survey. These were requests from individuals in health insurance claims, almost double the number of suicide help cases in just March and April of 2020. Almost double the requests for psychological help from insurance company data. Almost double the requests for depression support and counseling. We've got the number of youth suicides. You are, if you're under the age of 18, you are 10 times more likely to die of suicide than you are from COVID-19. These are real statistics. They're coming from the CDC and from insurance companies. And remember, I was talking about those insurance requests. That was in March and April of 2020. What has happened since? We are devastating our society. We've had psychologists on here. There's plenty of people talking about it, but we can't question that. We can't question what the impact of these lockdowns are. The fact that the naval Medical Intelligence Center, along with a very reputable research institute, did a survey with basic trainees that they locked them down with double masks, 6-foot separation in one group, and the other group went through normal routines. The people with the masks had almost the same exact numbers of cases. These are reputable studies that you can find. So we can't question that. Something's wrong. Something is wrong when we can't make questions about these issues. So I'm going to go to Cindy real quick. Cindy, thanks for holding. We're going to be quick before we got to go off to the next break, and I got to get my guest in here, but go ahead, please.
No, I'm just going to say, hopefully, thank you for Lieutenant Colonel McKinney for bringing forward 100% accuracy what's happened in America. And I'm only going to give people a couple suggestions on the positive note. And to note this, that everything you said is accurate, but I will also let you know that what has evolved in America has been the prepackaged thinking of our children, which was spoken to in Epic Times, March 3rd through 9th. And what we need to do is you parents who are out there in radio land need to get involved with teaching your children and seeing how that's done with critical and logical thinking. There's another article in there on when you don't have reason and logic and you look just what happened in now Amazon. They're not burning books, but they're choosing to eliminate thought. But what they're doing is pre-programming. And I'm going to use the term that the Epic Times uses with woke immersion. You people can figure that out, I'm sure, enough. But we need to get involved within the school systems to bring back logic, critical reasoning, and thinking, and to let you know that this has been going on for decades, that people will rely on emotion as opposed to those two characteristics. So I'm going to let the other person get on. But please, people, get out there. Pull up when you need logic and reason in the schools, and knowing what has happened within decades of prepackaged, I would say, emotional thinking, not logic and reasoning. This is the outcome.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. There's no question. And what we're seeing right now, okay, is this push. There was an article in the New York Times last week. This is amazing to me. The opinion writer, who's a very common opinion writer on the New York Times, actually said critical thinking is dangerous. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Don't think too much. That's in the New York Times. What the heck are we talking about? When Dr. Seuss, when his books are being banned or taken off eBay or Amazon and then becomes a public problem, and through these social media companies, through media networks that are presenting this information that says, oh my gosh, he's potentially a racist. Dr. Seuss, he wrote specifically for inclusion. He wrote specifically to help people integrate with each other and respect each other. He was a strong anti-fascist, anti-Nazi writer, and he was a liberal. We speak for the trees. Come on. And we are canceling him. But you know what? Tucker Carlson the other night, and he's one of those voices out there in mass media that still tries to get rational thought across. No one's perfect, but he tries. Tucker Carlson pointed out what they're attempting to do, the progressives and this mass media effort, is actually to silence people from thinking and not looking at integration and accepting each other for how you are, however you are, with regardless of your color, your skin, regardless of your character, regardless of where you grew up, and that was his point. That was Dr. Seuss's point. So somebody's trying to erase that and trying to ensure that we have this diversity, justice, warrior effort to raise one group and separate us from each other. Something is completely backwards in our society, and we do have to step up. We do have to start making changes and be aware of what's happening. And you know what? We need to continue to question the narrative. We have to do that. Dr. Seuss is one example, and if people don't stand up, their voices will be silenced. And this is the way it worked. And I'm going to tell you just a brief story. When I was in 1999, I was at the George C. Marshall Center for European Security Studies, and I was in Russian training for the more sophisticated part of it, and we were watching Russia very closely when Vladimir Putin was beginning to take over as prime minister in this first iteration before he came the new czar for life. There was a war in Chechnya, the second iteration of a war in Chechnya, and there was apartment bombings around Moscow. Very devastating. They killed hundreds of people. Three major apartment buildings. After a few months, another apartment building had the entire underneath was filled full of explosives. So it looked like another explosive. Well, people had been so worried about it that neighbors were looking and they identified the explosives before. They found out that the FSB, the Foreign Security Service, the people that became what the KGB became, actually were there. And their excuse was that they were testing and preparedness of the community. All this actual explosive material in this apartment bomb. So, it's unclear who set off those bombs in the beginning that killed those apartments, but I'll tell you what is very clear that happened after that. Domestic terrorism. Terroristi, по-русски, in Russian. Terroristi. Vladimir Putin took control of that country by using that type of dialogue, domestic terrorists. And we're seeing those accusations against half the population of America right now. Something is wrong when we're doing that. And if we don't question that, we are going to lose those basic rights and those freedoms. We have a problem we've got to address. So I've got Jerry on line one. Jerry, I'm going to take you very quickly because then I'm going to introduce my guest here, and then we'll get to another caller a little bit later. But Jerry, real quick, what do you got this morning?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick that it's interesting that the CDC is making these comments about the mask. If they were serious about this mask, they would have designed a standard mask that would have been used, and they would have offered it to the public for free. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. I think that's a very good point. So I've seen a nice joke. You know, it's basically the guy standing at the fence, a cyclone fence, you know, the big, you know, 3 or 4 inch holes in it. And a woman walks up with a mask and asks, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a fence. And she's got a mask on. He says, what do you got the mask on? She says, oh, to keep me from COVID virus. And she says, what are you building the fence for? And he says, you know, to stop mosquitoes. the size of the virus and the mass and the way they work, there was no evidence prior to this COVID outbreak that they worked. The CDC, including Dr. Fauci, said they wouldn't work. Now he's come back and said, well, I was lying to you because I didn't want to impact the system. Something is not right. Once again, we've got to be able to question these things. And with the media and the tech companies and the social media attacks on people that make these questions and on the radio hosts that ask these questions, something's wrong. And it comes right back here to our local county, our local communities. We've got a problem with schools. We've got a problem with our education. And as Cindy had pointed out earlier, it's important for them to continue to learn critical thinking, but they're closed down right now. And it doesn't make a lot of sense because the data from the CDC, from every study, shows that they don't get it, they're not at risk of it, and they don't pass it very, very rarely. So something is happening. So I've got a guest in here this morning. I'm going to do a little introduction. She's an amazing individual. She went to the University of Virginia in Russian studies. She became the American Chamber of Commerce director in the country of Estonia. She worked for the U.S. Department of Defense as a contract support person, and then moved when it became a diplomat, a U.S. diplomat from a Greek immigrant family. She then worked raising children and continued to work at different embassy assignments around the world. Became the director of the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness, which is their economic development organization for the state, public-private partnership. Came here to Whatcom County, started working with an international training group, then worked for the Whatcom Business Alliance, and is the government affairs transformation person for a global corporation right here in the county, and is on the local school board. And oh, by the way, she's my wife, Laura McKinney. So I'm quite proud of her. She has an amazing resume. She has a lot of experience. But I really wanted to ask her because she is on the school board for the Blaine School District. And what is keeping schools from being opened and why are we having a problem right here? Laura?
Good morning, folks. I guess we're letting you into a little bit of what it looks like around our dinner table every day. We have these discussions quite often. And so when Jim asked me to come join him in the morning, I said, well, my goodness, what will we talk about? He said, well, we just talk like we normally do. So when we're talking about the schools, I mean, this is a difficult question. It's a very personal question, too. We have 3 children who are in the school system now, and we see what's going on with them every day. And what I wanted to make sure that we get across in Whatcom County, out in the county, we're ahead of the curve for the rest of Washington and getting our kids back into school. But when you look across the country, the comparison is just, it's very depressing for parents. And I think it's important to make that distinction between parents and general community members. There are some folks out there that are very vocal and very upset about having our kids back in school and are putting a lot of pressure on the system to not deviate from the rules one tiny bit. They're circling the schools, they're watching the kids, they're calling in grievances and trying to get them caught doing things. I mean, these are kids. This is what they're supposed to be doing in school, playing sports, communicating with each other. And part of the problem here is that we've got a system that doesn't want them to do that. They want to keep them captive at home behind their little computer screens and just receiving information, not participating.
Well, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna talk a little bit more about this after the break. And I've still got Brian on the line. After the break, Brian, we're gonna get to you very quickly, and then we're gonna finish this discussion on how what's happening here and how all this inability to ask these questions are hurting us in our own communities right now. So, once again, Jim McKinney here, KGMI. We're gonna go ahead and run for the break for a couple minutes, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Whatcom County, Skagit County, Island County, in southern British Columbia, in Vancouver area, Surrey, White Rock. For anybody that's out there listening up there in the Great White North, once again, this is Jim McKinney, KGMI, Saturday Morning Live. And yeah, we've got a special guest in the studio, but we've got a caller on the line. If we could take Brian, but real quick, Brian, because I want to hit to a couple of big points here before we finish up.
Okay, I just want to make a couple points. A cancel culture is a cancer culture. Think malignant Marxism. Okay, the other point. It always grated me when the news media would talk about the president-elect. Well, I want to give them something to grate about. Let's change the name of that tune that always precedes the president when he shows up somewhere. Can we now call it Jail to the Thief?
All right. Thanks, Brian. I think that'd be pretty fun. That'd be kind of interesting. Especially, you know, right now there's a lot of fun things to look at the guy that's sitting in the office right now. I'm kind of wondering what's happening in the background. They're kind of keeping him private, and of course, I'm actually going to close out today with some interesting facts on voter fraud that you won't see in the mainstream media. And in fact, if you say something about it, you're probably to be isolated, maybe blocked, and who knows, they may be coming after you at your home. Maybe they'll be hitting me tonight. But back to Laura. Appreciate Laura coming in. And again, in all, you know, transparency here, she is my wife, but she has some very good understanding of what's happening. And let's just be real quick. What is keeping our schools, our kids, from being back in regular school session right now?
So what we have now is the hybrid system. Kids are divided into groups, and they are allowed into school in batches. What is keeping them from going back completely altogether the way that our school's designed for is the six-foot rule. So the kids in the classroom have to maintain a six-foot distance from each other. In our classrooms and the way they're designed, that is completely the opposite of the movement towards bringing kids together and having them have group discussions and working together. So until we can get rid of the 6-foot rule, we will not be able to have all the kids back in school together. And one of the differences between a public school and a private school setting, that we get that question quite a lot, in a public school, you can't limit the number of kids that will be considered to be in the classroom. So we have to maintain flexibility in how many kids can be there. So we can't fit them all in, and we have to keep the divided structure. In a private school, they can cap the number of kids based on the space and then have them all in there together. So, you know, it's very sad. We're destroying our public school system as it was designed to ensure that all children have an opportunity for an education. And until we can get rid of the 6-foot rule, we will continue in this very strange, disjointed environment that the kids are trying to learn in.
Well, and you know, this, I think our Brian's point, you know, the cancel culture is a cancer culture. You're teaching the children not to think. I mean, with these circumstances that we're facing right now and what's happening with information flow, you're actually teaching people not to critically think and to accept just a narrative. And that's been completely opposite for what our our foundations, our historical foundations have been in America. I mean, and what has made America the most influential, most powerful country in the history of the world is because the individual is actually equal to or greater than the state, but something's changing. And what we're seeing is a combination of powerful political leaders and tech companies and global corporations that have an agenda. And that agenda is undermining basically the United States. In my view, it's undermining the power of America, and it's trying to get people in line. And I think there's a purpose with it. I think there's a purpose in order to keep people from not thinking.
I just wanted to make one more point about the idea of discourse. And this is one thing that we've seen with our kids. When they are at home on their Zoom, and for those of you who work in the business environment who are now doing so many more things remotely, you know this as well, that a Zoom discussion is not really a discussion. It's very moderated. One person has to talk at a time. You can't have a back and forth. It's very difficult. The technology doesn't really support it. So our children have noticed a huge difference being in the classroom where you have discussion, you have discourse, you have an opportunity to do back and forth, to see body language and learn how to engage in a conversation and share ideas, versus being at home on the screen and the kids don't all turn their cameras on. Everyone's got different internet capacities, but they don't communicate. They don't interact. They don't step forward from their homes into these conversations. It's entirely different method of engagement.
Well, and of course, I catch our seventh grade daughter in her pajamas on her computer, still in her bed doing class when she's not in class. There's something wrong with that. I yell at her slightly because I love my daughter, but she's got to get out of bed. And really, it's so important. Us as human beings, we need each other. We learn, especially like in those middle school years, how to interact with each other. And those are those challenging times. And you've got to understand each other and learn what to say, what not to say, because of the social interaction. They're critical to our future. So I'm going to wrap it up here. You know, that impacts us locally. You know, the company that Laura, you know, works for is a global company, and they made a decision based on global needs, not on local needs, and it cost 700 jobs in our community, high-paying jobs. Those are the types of issues that we're facing because of these lockdowns and our inability to question, and global corporations that are deciding that they want to make more money rather than protect the basic principles of this nation. And when it comes down to the questioning of our electoral system, we have to be able to ensure sanctity of that, or we have no country. Then these people, these dominant politicians, these dominant corporate interests will control our future. And let me just wrap this up in a final little piece here. So you're not going to find this in the mainstream media news, but the New Hampshire Senate, the Senate of the state of New Hampshire, has voted 24-0 to audit their election results by hand. And they're waiting for a House bill to push forward with that. And the reason why they're doing that is because when they surveyed a county, Windham County, New Hampshire, that typically votes about 60% Republican, they found that 300 votes, about 6% of the total votes on Dominion voting machines, went to Democrats. When they hand counted, it was reversed. In a state that had flipped to a Republican legislature from 14-10 Democrat to 14-10 Republican, and 230 Democrat to 156 Republican to 213 Republican to 187. So they're going to take this forward, but we need to question the future of our nation through the integrity of our election system and all these issues.